Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. And I do mean ladies and gentlemen because I, your host, can define woman. Welcome to the Piney Woods. This is Squirrel Chatter. I am your squirrel, the host. Good to have you with us. It's Thursday, the 24th of March. As we are marching through the year, we are almost through the third month of the year, which means we're almost a quarter of the way through the entire year. And that is amazing because somewhere in my head, it's still the late 80s. Good coffee this morning. Time goes by way too fast. I was up too late last night. We had a wonderful discussion on suffering for Christ at youth group last night, and we went a little long. Good time. Great group of kids. I pray for them as I look at the world that they're going to be living in and just seeing the things that we're seeing now and understanding where things seem to be headed. Without a remarkable movement of God's Holy Spirit, our world is in a steep decline as we continue to abandon godliness. And tough times are coming. Dark times are coming. There will be dark days ahead, as the introduction to one of my favorite video games from the 90s used to say. Lord of the Realms used to, you had your own little duchy and you were trying to take over the kingdom. But in the introduction to the game, when the king has died, there will be dark days ahead. And I've always loved that line. Well, folks, that's the world we're living in. There's going to be dark days ahead. And that's, in many ways, dark days are here. In other ways, dark days are coming. Well, today is Theology Thursday, so we're going to be getting to that here. We're going to be looking at the first paragraph of the fourth chapter of the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. And Friday's show is going to be pre-recorded because I have jury duty tomorrow morning, unless they call me today and say the case has been settled. And that's happened more than once, but I have sat on two juries. There's only 4,000 people in our county. I'm not sure how many registered voters. So there's not a huge jury pool to draw from. So in the 22 years that I have lived here, I have served on two juries. 22 years. 24 years. Wow. In the 24 years I've lived here, I've served on two juries. So I always just make sure the defense attorneys know that I've served on two juries and we convicted both times, and then they can send me home because they probably don't want me on the jury. And that is not to say that I would not find someone innocent if the prosecution failed to prove their case. That's just, on the basis of two or three witnesses, the facts shall be established. So I would vote innocent if that was... or not guilty, I guess, is the vote. Guilty or not guilty. If the prosecution failed to prove the case, because the burden of proof is on the prosecution. So if you're the prosecutor and you're looking at me as a juror, remember, I'm expecting you to do your job. All right, well, Squirrel Chatter is a podcast that is a proud member of the Christian podcast community. You can head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. And here at Squirrel Chatter, we are primarily dedicated to the public reading of Scripture, with the secondary function of me talking about whatever's on my mind. And as I said, today's Theology Thursday, and on Thursdays we've been going through the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, paragraph by paragraph, and just talking about what it means. And just a heads up, I don't agree with everything in the 1689. There's going to become a couple of places where I'm going to have to take issue with what the 1689 says. This chapter 4 is not one of those issues. But when we get there, I'll let you know. And I will explain my position and why I take that position. And I'll show it to you from Scripture. And say this is why I think the writers of the 1689 got it wrong. They're minor details, mostly. It's not anything huge. But yeah, we'll get to that. All right. Our scriptures today are going to be Deuteronomy 19 through 22, Psalm 6, and Luke 10. Let's begin with our prayer of confession from the 1552 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now our prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy 19. I sure am liking having the entire Bible on the LSB app now. We've got the Old and New Testament, and so I've gone back to using the app instead of copying everything to a PDF file, and it's nice. Excuse me. I greatly appreciate that. So if you're looking, if you want to download the LSB Bible app, the link is there in the show notes, so you can check that out, and I encourage you to do that. It's actually the full version of Accordance. If you're an Accordance user and you haven't upgraded to Accordance 13, guess what? So, yeah, it's the full version of Accordance. You can download all your resources to it if you're an Accordance user, which is very, very nice. And they now have the entire New and Old Testament texts of the Legacy Standard Bible. So, Deuteronomy chapter 19. When Yahweh your God cuts off the nations whose land Yahweh your God gives you, and you dispossess them and settle in their cities and in their houses, you shall set apart three cities for yourselves in the midst of your land, which Yahweh your God gives you to possess. You shall prepare the roads for yourself and divide into three parts the territory of your land, which Yahweh your God will give you to inherit, so that any manslayer may flee there. Now this is the case of the manslayer who may flee there and live. When he strikes down his friend without premeditation, not hating him previously, as when a man goes into the forest with his friend to cut wood, and his hand swings the axe to cut down the tree, and the iron head slips off the handle and strikes his friend so that he dies, he may flee to one of these cities and live, lest the avenger of blood pursue the manslayer when his heart is angry and overtake him because the way is long, and strike down his life, though he was not deserving of death, since he had not hated him previously. Therefore, I am commanding you, saying, you shall set apart three cities for yourself. Now, if Yahweh your God enlarges your territory, just as he has sworn to your fathers, and gives you all the land which he promised to your fathers, if you be careful to do all this commandment which I am commanding you today, to love Yahweh your God and to walk in his ways all your days, then you shall add three more cities for yourself besides these three. So innocent blood will not be shed in the midst of your land, which Yahweh your God gives you as an inheritance, and blood guiltiness be on you. But if there is a man who hates his neighbor, and lies in wait for him, and rises up against him, and strikes down his life, so that he dies, he flees to one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and take him from there, and give him over to the hand of the avenger of blood, that he may die. You shall not pity him, but you shall purge the blood of the innocent from Israel, that it may go well with you. You shall not move your neighbor's boundary mark, which the ancestors have set, in your inheritance which you will inherit in the land of Yahweh your God, land that Yahweh your God gives you to possess. A single witness shall not rise up against a man on account of any iniquity or any sin which he has committed. At the mouth of two or three witnesses a matter shall be established. If a malicious witness rises up against a man to accuse him of wrongdoing, then both the men who have the dispute shall stand before Yahweh, before the priest and the judges who will be in office in those days. And the judges shall inquire thoroughly. And behold, if the witness is a false witness, and he has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him just as he intended to do to his brother. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you. And the rest will hear and be afraid, and will never again do such an evil thing among you. Thus your eyes shall not show pity, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Chapter 20. If you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for Yahweh your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt, is with you. Now it will be, when you are drawing near to the battle, the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, you are drawing near to the battle against your enemies today. Do not let your heart be faint. Do not be afraid, nor be alarmed, nor be in dread before them. For Yahweh your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you." The officer also shall speak to the people, saying, "Who is the man that has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. Who is the man who has planted a vineyard and has not begun to use its fruit? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man begin to use its fruit. And who is the man who is engaged to a woman and has not married her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man marry her." Then the officer shall speak further to the people and say, "Who is the man that is afraid and whose heart is faint? Let him go and return to his house, so that he might not make his brother's hearts melt like his heart." Now it will be that when the officers have finished speaking to the people, they shall appoint commanders of the armies at the head of the people. If you come near a city to fight against it, you shall call for terms of peace. Now it will be that if it agrees to make peace with you and opens to you, then all the people who are found in it shall become your forced labor and shall serve you. However, if it does not make peace with you but makes war against you, then you shall besiege it. And Yahweh your God shall give it into your hand, and you shall strike all the males in it with the edge of the sword. Only the women and the little ones and the animals and all that is in the city, all its spoils, you shall plunder for yourself, and you shall consume the spoil of your enemies, which Yahweh your God has given you. Thus you shall do to all the cities that are very far from you, which are not the cities of these nations nearby. Only in the cities of these people that Yahweh your God is giving you as an inheritance, you shall not leave anything alive that breathes. But you shall devote them to destruction, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Perizzite, the Hivite and the Jebusite, as Yahweh your God has commanded you, so that they may not teach you to do according to all their abominations which they have done for their gods, so that you would sin against Yahweh your God. If you besiege a city for many days to make war against it in order to capture it, you shall not destroy its trees by swinging an axe against them, for you may eat from them, and you shall not cut them down. For it is the tree of the field of a man that it should be besieged. For is the tree of the field a man that it should be besieged by you? Only the trees which you know are not trees for food you shall destroy and cut down, that you may build siege works against the city that is making war with you until it falls. Chapter 21. If a slain person is found fallen in the open country in the land which Yahweh your God gives you to possess, and it is not known who has struck him, then your elders and your judges shall go out and measure the distance to the cities which are around the slain one. And it shall be that the city which is nearest to the slain man, that is, the elders of that city, shall take a heifer of the herd, which has not been worked and which is not pulled in a yoke. And the elders of that city shall bring the heifer down to the valley, to a valley with running water, which has not been plowed or sown. And they shall break the heifer's neck there in the valley. Then the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near, for Yahweh your God has chosen them to minister for him and to bless in the name of Yahweh, and every dispute and every assault shall be settled by them. And all the elders of that city who are nearest to the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley, and they shall answer and say, our hands did not shed this blood, nor did our eyes see it. Atone for your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, O Yahweh, and do not place the guilt of innocent blood in the midst of your people Israel. And the blood guiltiness shall be atoned for them. So you shall purge the guilt of innocent blood from your midst, when you do what is right in the eyes of Yahweh. If you go out to battle against your enemies, and Yahweh your God gives them over to your hands, and you take them away captive, and see among the captives a beautiful woman, and set your affection on her, and would take her as a wife for yourself, then you shall bring her home to your house, and she shall shave her head and trim her nails. She shall also remove the clothes of her captivity, and shall remain in your house, and weep for her father and mother a full month. And after that you may go into her and be her husband, and she shall be your wife. And it will be that, if you do not desire her, then you shall let her go wherever she wishes, but you shall certainly not sell her for money. You shall not mistreat her, because you have humbled her. If a man has two wives, the one loved and the other unloved, and both the loved and the unloved have borne him sons, if the firstborn son belongs to the unloved, then it shall be in the day that he wills what he has to his sons, he cannot make the son of the loved the firstborn before the son of the unloved, who is the firstborn. But he shall recognize the firstborn, the son of the unloved, by giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is the first of his vigor. The legal judgment for the firstborn belongs to him. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they discipline them, he will not even listen to them, then his father and his mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. Then they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not listen to our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him, and he will die. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. And if a man has committed a sin, the judgment of which is death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day, because cursed of God is he who is hanged, so that you do not make unclean your land which Yahweh your God gives you as an inheritance. You shall not see your brother's ox or his sheep straying away and ignore them. You shall certainly bring them back to your brother. And if your brother is not near you, or if you do not know him, then you shall bring it home to your house, and it shall be with you until your brother searches for it. Then you shall give it back to him. Thus you shall do with his donkey, and you shall do likewise with his garment, and you shall do likewise with anything lost by your brother, which he has lost and you have found. You are not allowed to ignore them. You shall not see your brother's donkey or his ox fallen down in the way and ignore them. You shall certainly help him to raise them up. A woman shall not wear man's clothing, nor shall a man put on a woman's clothing. For whoever does these things is an abomination to Yahweh your God. If you happen to come upon a bird's nest along the way, in any tree or on the ground, with young ones or eggs, and the mother sitting on the young or on the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young. You shall certainly let the mother go. But the young you may take for yourself, in order that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days. When you build a new house, you shall make a parapet for your roof, so that you will not bring blood guilt on your house if anyone falls from it. You shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seed, lest all the produce of the seed which you have sown and the increase of the vineyard become defiled. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not wear a material mixed of wool and flax together. You shall make yourself tassels on the four corners of your garments with which you cover yourself. If any man takes a wife and goes into her and then turns against her, and charges her with shameful deeds and brings forth against her a bad name and says, "Look, I took this woman, but when I came near her, I did not find her a virgin." Then the girl's father and her mother shall take and bring out the evidence of the girl's virginity to the elders of the city at the gate. Then the girl's father shall say to the elders, "I gave my daughter to this man as a wife, but he turned against her. And behold, he has charged her with shameful deeds, saying, 'I did not find your daughter a virgin, but this is the evidence of my daughter's virginity.' And they shall spread the garment before the elders of the city. So the elders of the city shall take the man and chastise him, and they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver and give it to the girl's father, because he brought forth a bad name against a virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife. He cannot divorce her all his days. But if this charge is true, that the girl was not found a virgin, then they shall bring out the girl to the doorway of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her. And she will die because she has committed a disgraceful act in Israel by playing the harlot in her father's house. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you. If a man is found lying with a married woman, then both of them shall die, the man who lay with the woman and the woman. Thus you shall purge the evil from Israel. If there is a girl who is a virgin engaged to a man, and another man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them, and they will die. The girl, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he has violated his neighbor's wife. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you. But if in the field the man finds the girl who is engaged, and the man forces her and lies with her, then only the man who lies with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the girl. There is no sin in the girl worthy of death, for just as a man rises against his neighbor and murders him, so is the case. When he found her in the field, the engaged girl cried out, but there was no one to save her. If a man finds a girl who is a virgin who is not engaged, and seizes her and lies with her, and they are found, then the man who lay with her shall give to the father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall become his wife because he has violated her. He cannot divorce her all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, so that he will not uncover his father's skirt. And now, Psalm 6. For the choir director, with stringed instruments, according to the Sheminith, a psalm of David. O Yahweh, do not reprove me in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Yahweh, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Yahweh, for my bones are dismayed, and my soul is greatly dismayed. But you, O Yahweh, how long? Return, O Yahweh, rescue my soul. Save me because of your loving kindness. For there is no remembrance of you in death. In Sheol, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my singing. Every night I make my bed swim. I flood my couch with tears. My eye has wasted away with grief. It has become old because of all my adversaries. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for Yahweh has heard the sound of my weeping. Yahweh has heard my supplications. Yahweh receives my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back. They will suddenly be ashamed. Now Luke chapter 10. Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. And whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you. and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But in whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet know this, that the kingdom of God is at hand. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Now the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And turning to the disciples, he said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see, and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear, and did not hear them. And behold, a scholar of the law stood up and was putting him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus replied and said, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And a priest happened to be going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And in the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, The one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do the same. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who was also seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted by all her preparations. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the preparations alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. This is the word of the Lord. All right. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now the collect for grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who hast safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, well, it is Theology Thursday. We are continuing to go chapter by chapter, paragraph by paragraph, through the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. And today we are in chapter 4 on creation, paragraph 1. Last Thursday we read through all of chapter 4, so now we're going to break it down and go through it by paragraph. All right, let's read it. In the beginning, it pleased God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the manifestation of the glory of his eternal power, wisdom, and goodness, to create or make the world, and all things therein, whether visible or invisible, in the space of 6 days, and all very good. So this is speaking that God created everything in 6 days because it pleased him to do so. There's a lot of debate on how long God took to make the earth. The Bible says he made it in 6 days. It's interesting to note that during the early days of the Reformation, there were people that denied a 6-day creation. They didn't understand why God took so long. Their argument was that God just created everything in an instant. He didn't take 6 days to do it because there was no reason for God to have to take 6 days. He's all powerful. He could make everything in an instant, which is true. But what they were denying was the inspiration of Scripture, because God said he made the earth in 6 days. And so if you hold to the inspiration of Scripture and the inerrancy of Scripture, which I believe you have to, that's chapter 1. We went through that weeks ago. Holding to the inspiration and inerrancy of Scripture, we have to accept that God made everything in 6 days. 6 literal days of approximately 24 hours. Days similar to days now. Now, I understand the rotation of the earth has changed. It's sped up. It's slowed down. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look at it. Things have happened. This is the fallen world. Things deteriorate. The law of entropy is in effect because we are living post-fall. And so, yes, there have been things that have affected the rotation of the earth. But, you know, whatever the original length of a day was, it was fairly close to what we have as a day. I think it's sped up, in my own opinion, looking back at the 360-day year that all the ancient calendars have, not just the Jewish calendar, but most of the ancient calendars have a 360-day year. And, of course, we know that currently the year is 365 and a quarter days. That's why we had a leap year, a leap day every 4 years. We add an extra day to make up for that quarter day to keep everything in sync. But all the ancient calendars have a 360-day year. So it makes me wonder, has the earth sped up 5 1/4 days since the fall? And that makes perfect sense to me. I see no reason to think otherwise. But God, it says, in the beginning, it pleased God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So all of mankind was, or all of the Godhead was involved in creation. We know that, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and we know the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. John 1:2-3 says, he, meaning Jesus, the Word. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So God the Son was involved in creation. There is a doctrine called inseparable operations. We have one God, eternally existent in three co-equal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All three persons of the Trinity are involved in some aspect in every work of God, including creation. Hebrews 1:2, in these last days spoke to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the worlds. So, God the Father is the creator, God the Son is the creator, God the Holy Spirit is the creator. God is the creator. And that's clear from the scriptures. And then this one was weird. They gave us for that same thing Job 26:13. Now, I understand the first part. By his breath, the heavens are made beautiful. Speaking of God. And the second part is, his hand has pierced the fleeing serpent. Which I think is referring to Satan and referring to the fall. And that you know, Satan is fleeing, but there's no way for him to flee. His doom is sure. One little word shall fell him, as Luther said in A Mighty Fortress. For lo, his doom is sure. There is no... I think Satan, being the father of lies, lies to himself and thinks that he's going to win. But he is not going to win because he is not God. Luther also said, even the devil is God's devil. He has no authority except what God has given him, and when God revokes that authority, it's revoked, and that's going to be that. So God has, in the beginning, it pleased God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the manifestation of the glory of his eternal power. And they give us for this Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, both his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Those who deny creation have no excuse for doing so. Those who deny the existence of God have no excuse for doing so. Creation itself is prima facie evidence of the existence of God, and the fact that creation exists means it's inexcusable to deny the existence of God. God doesn't believe in atheists, and therefore we should not either. Now, they suppress the truth in their unrighteousness. Because of their sin, they repress the knowledge of God, but they have no excuse for doing so. The reason they do it is because of their sin. It's not because there's a lack of evidence. The evidence is plain. The evidence is clear. So in the beginning, it pleased God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the manifestation of the glory of his eternal power, wisdom, and goodness, to create or make the world and all things therein, whether visible or invisible, in the space of 6 days, and all very good. Colossians 1:16, for in him all things were created, both in the heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And then Genesis 1:31, and God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. And I would also point you to the Ten Commandments where it talks about God and the commandment to keep the Sabbath day holy. It talks that God made the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And therefore, the Israel was commanded to rest on the seventh. So, yes, You know, God made the earth in six literal days. Morning and evening the first day, or evening and morning the first day, evening and morning the second day, evening and morning the third day. God made the earth in 6 days, 6 to 10,000 years ago. And mankind can deny it all they want, but they will answer for their denial because they are without excuse. For creation itself is the evidence that God made everything in 6 days. This has long been one of the most disputed doctrines. You have people that claim to be Christian who deny a literal six-day creation. And I think about Jesus' words when he said, if you do not believe Moses, you won't believe me. And if they're rejecting what Moses taught about creation and the age of the earth, then do they really believe Christ? Consider that, especially because you've had some big names come out and deny the historicity of the Genesis account of creation. So it makes you think, you know, are they really Christians? Now, there are people who are ignorant, who have not really examined this thought, who, you know, have been taught day-age theory or theistic evolution or some other method of creation, who've never actually thought it through. They can be Christians. But I think the people that are out there intentionally trying to deceive people, there's a good indication by the fact that they're rejecting the teachings of Moses that they're indeed wolves in sheep clothing. And you know, you understand the reference that Jesus made to wolves in sheep's clothing. He's not talking about wolves dressing like sheep, as you see in all the normal cartoons where the sheep stands up, pulls off the head, and it's a wolf in a costume. That's not what he's saying. It's sheep's clothing was shepherd's clothing. Shepherds, for some strange reason, wore sheepskins. A, it kept them warm out in the wilderness at night. B, they had sheep. So shepherd's clothing is what it means. So these are people that come to you as shepherds. They appear to be pastors. They appear to be Bible teachers. That's how they present themselves. Yet inwardly, they're ravenous wolves. And they're seeking to destroy the flock. And that's just truth. And so I think the people that are actively denying the doctrine of creation, that are the Bible teachers and pastors that are doing so, I fear for their souls. And I believe that they need to repent and they need to trust in the gospel. Well, again, I want to remind you, tomorrow is going to be a pre-recorded episode of Squirrel Chatter because I'm going to be on jury duty unless they call me today. I've got my phone right here. I'll have my phone with me all day. If they call me and say, hey, we settled, you don't have to come in, then I'll be here live. Otherwise, it's going to be a pre-recorded episode, which means that I will see you on Monday. So I want to remind you, make sure you go to church on Sunday. All right, folks, have a great Thursday. Do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you here again soon. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.